Hello everyone, welcome to Digital Marketing Can podcast, your favorite podcast where we interact with eminent guests from the digital marketing world and try to understand the latest trends, techniques, case studies, and updates in this domain. I am your host Prince Kumar, and today we are very much excited to discuss about creating powerful stories to sell your products with our guest, Carl Ponchau. Carl is the owner of Squash and Stretch Production. He helps companies who want to have a big impact on their communities, attract most of their best clients, and employ with engaging story. Hi, Carl. A warm welcome on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Great. So, Carl, to start with, can you tell the audience a bit more about yourself, about your corporate journey, and also how you started this Squash and Stretch?
Sure. You might not be surprised to hear that I do have a story about why I started my company that informs the how and the what, so I can dive into that. I am based in the San Francisco Bay Area in a city called Livermore.
Okay.
For my entire life, I've been an artist, and I grew up drawing, painting, sculpting, big Legos kid. And I got my passion for storytelling from my dad. He's a really good storyteller. And I knew I wanted to study animation when I saw the first Toy Story film. I was like, ooh, that, I gotta do that. That's so cool. And then beginning of 2002, I started to feel like something wasn't quite right with me physically. I'd been a competitive swimmer my whole life, so I knew what I was supposed to feel like. And it wasn't like, oh, my shoulder kind of hurts. It's like a general blah feeling. But by August, they still hadn't figured out what was wrong with me, and I had lost 50 pounds and had sunken cheeks and eyes. I was really pale, started to get really bad headaches. So my parents took me for an MRI up in Walnut Creek, and we were waiting around for another appointment when my pediatrician called and said he's going to drive up from another hospital to come talk with us. And we saw him walking up with this big envelope in his hands. You could tell he'd been crying, and he brought us into a little side meeting room. I remember I was sitting knee to knee with him in this big U-shaped chair with really high armrests, kind of leaning forward towards him, when he pulled out the results of the MRI and showed me I had two brain tumors. And it felt like I got punched in the chest. I had to move backwards in my chair, and for the next 2 weeks, everything sounded like the adults from Peanuts, kind of wah, 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 because never had the flu, never broken any major bones, never been stung by a bee. I'm pretty sure I've never been bitten by a mosquito. So to get brain tumor diagnosis at 15 years old was a complete sucker punch out of nowhere. But I got so much help from friends and family, and my high school adjusted my schedule and got me a tutor so I could still graduate on time. And people I barely knew were giving food and gifts and other supports really inspired me to want to give back and help as many people as I could, because I'd probably be dead if it wasn't for all the help that I got. And then in undergraduate school, as I was studying animation, there was a big student digital art and design competition I participated in, with a big screening at the end of like 1,000 people in this big auditorium. I knew maybe 10 people in the room. But when everyone laughed at the joke of my animation, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. I connect with people and have a bigger impact with animation and storytelling. So after grad school, I started my company, and we tell exceptional stories for exceptional impact, helping tech, biotech, healthcare, and professional services companies attract more of their best clients and employees using storytelling and animation. No matter whether a business is B2C or B2B or even B2G, they're all really H2H, which is human to human, and humans tell stories. So by helping those sort of companies, more people in the world get their lives improved, our clients' businesses better, we get a happy client, everyone wins. And it's a way for me to have a bigger positive impact on the world around me, and that's why I do what I do.
Great. So it was a kind of, you know, one of the inspiring stories that I have heard about, you know, how one a kind of, you know, thing that can motivate you to help others or to bring some change into the society. So definitely.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I wouldn't want to go through it again. I wouldn't wish on anyone else, but I can't imagine not having gone through, because it made me such a better person and give me the drive and resilience and motivation to do what I'm doing now. And like the way I kind of put it now with what I'm trying to do with my company and my life is, like, if I could kind of snap my fingers, cast some sort of like magic spell that would make everyone in the world as maximally empathetic as humanly possible, but casting the spell would kill me, I'd still do it. Because I think if the people were more empathy and were able to connect more, then problems we're having in the world with like political issues and social unrest and like inequality and war would all be gone, and the other issues like climate change and curing cancer and Alzheimer's, these bigger diseases, would be a lot easier to solve if we're able to work together more closely. But since magic like that isn't real, I'll use stories instead, is how I look at it.
So now coming to the topic that we have today.
So sure.
Can you help us understand that, definitely with more and more products coming up on, and then there's a kind of more and more sellers coming up on the digital platform, social selling, or we can say, the selling of the products on the digital platform is becoming difficult a bit day by day. Can you help us understand a bit about this?
Sure. So, especially because of the pandemic accelerating people's buying behaviors to being more, buying more stuff online, buying less stuff face-to-face with a person, being able to really understand where the real value is and what you're selling is important, and how to use stories to enhance the perceived value of what you're selling. One of the main, there's kind of a major reframe that a lot of businesses and companies need to make when it comes to their marketing, their products and services, because people don't really care that much about what it is you're actually selling, the physical thing it is. So instead of talking about what and talking about like the features or the all the different like nifty and how it works, all the stuff like that you find really interesting, you need to reframe it to think about it from your client's or your customer's perspective, and that what they care about is why, how, and the results, not the what. So when I say why, it's more about your company's like mission, your purpose for existing, the impact you're trying to have on the world, because more and more people want to use the service and give money to companies that are in it for more than just a profit. They're trying to do some, have some bigger cause behind the company, some sort of social impact they're trying to make on the world, or like some cause they support. So, and it needs to be authentic, but the more you can kind of market that side of things, or explain that sort of your mission and your vision for your business and the impact you're trying to have, that's a key point, because people resonate with that. How has to deal with the experience people have when you, either buying your service or using your service or your product, because so much of what is out there is commoditized or is very similar. There's a lot of options for any one thing people are trying to buy. And so the real differentiator, I think the stat I heard that since the pandemic kicked off, it's like 89% of companies compete on client experience as a main differentiator. So the more you can explain and set high expectations for what people will experience as your client, the more likely they are to work with you, because people are willing to pay more for an experience than just a product or service, because experiences are transformational. And really, when it comes down to it, people are buying probably one of those, you to solve their problem. And so if you can show how your product or service is going to transform their life from what it is to what they want it to be through this experience, and show how you're guiding them along that path with your product or service, that's way more compelling. And the last one is results, which this ties into, is nobody buys what you're selling because of what it intrinsically is. They care about the results, and often the results of the results of what you're selling them. So if you think about it, like if you think about like a mango, no one buys a mango because of like what it physically is. You buy it because you like the taste and it has nutrients. And then you like the experience of eating the mango, although I hear they're pretty messy, but you enjoy the experience. And then the nutrients help keep you healthy and have a longer, happier life. So people are, when you buy or eat a mango, you're paying for the experience of eating it, and the longer, happier life is what we really care about. So reframing your messaging to include those sorts of messages will help you sell, will differentiate your product or service online and help people choose it over the other ones, because you're not talking just about the features and the physical attributes of what you're selling.
Definitely. So way that you have said that experience is something which the audience or the buyers are not looking upon, because there are multiple options, or there are multiple sellers who are selling out the same product. But it is what the experience that we give to our end user, to our customers, that makes us stand apart from our competitors.
Yeah, and that experience provided is inspired by why you do what you do, why you started your company, and kind of what your mission is for your business. So if you think of like the mission or statement, or like the why is the roots of a tree, the experience you provide is the trunk, and then the branches and fruit are the results that people actually get from it. So if you don't have that strong mission, that strong why, then it makes everything else really hard because you don't have that rooted foundation for the rest of your business.
So since you were mentioning about the experience and like the topic also that we have, that is about storytelling, which is again a kind of experience that we do in on the digital platform. So can you help the audience understand that what are the basics of storytelling, or you know, how one can go with it?
Sure. So there's when it comes to business storytelling, there's some proven frameworks that are really effective, and it's kind of some basic mindsets to reframe the way you look at your messaging to make sure you're using these stories in the right way. One of the most common mistakes people make is they make their business the hero of their story. They focus too much on themselves. And what you really want to do is you want to reframe it to make all your messaging about your clients, make them the hero, and your business is instead the guide. And the point is that otherwise, basically, your clients are like a victim in the story, and the victim doesn't change over the course of the story. They're kind of helpless, and people don't like feeling like they're helpless. And so if you set your clients as a hero and instead show them how you can guide them from where they are to where they want to be, that is a good framework to use for the storytelling and kind of what role you play in the story. And for actually like story frameworks, there's only really 7 story archetypes that exist in the world. It's kind of like the quest or hero's journey. There's slaying the monster. There's journey and return, comedy, tragedy. And there's rags to riches and rebirth. And so you don't want to use a tragedy story because that's not great for selling. And depending on what sort of product or service you're selling, whatever your industry is, one of those other 6 might be a good archetype to use for your marketing, for your brand story. So it helps kind of know what one fits well for you. If you're doing something where it's like financials, you're helping people like make more money or kind of save for retirement, then like rags to riches might be a good one. If you're doing one where it's your product basically solves a problem for people, then like the slaying the monster is going, because you have this like this item that helps people go off and slay this big problem. So you kind of need to know which archetype works best for your situation. There's no real one size fits all thing. And then once you know that, then there's a matter of crafting the message that people can feel like they're emotionally connected, to kind of empathize with the characters in the story, and they can see themselves as examples, like the existing clients you have that you use in like your testimonials or case stories. Don't just say, we did this, 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 and this. It's a, they came to us with this problem, they're feeling this, like this, and they knew if they didn't solve the problem, this is a bad result that would happen, so we help them do through this experience. Here's what the process they went through, how they felt while they're going through the experience, and then here's the results they had. And then a big thing that a lot of people forget is, here's what they're able to do afterwards that they couldn't do before. What's like the result of the result, and how that makes them feel. Because if you think about like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that pyramid, the more you can show how the results people get are higher up on that pyramid, more to that like sense of confidence and that kind of the greater sense of like well-being and peace, like higher up the food chain or the pyramid there, the more valuable people will see your product and service. Helps you avoid that commoditization. And even just like sharing those stories properly can increase the experience people have. Even if you don't change the actual experience you're delivering, there was a great study at a restaurant, they didn't change the food over the course of the day, but they would swap out the weight of the silverware at different tables. When people had heavier silverware, they thought the food tasted better because they expected a better experience. So just explaining the experience you might be already providing to people will help them actually have a better experience with you. And then obviously you still have to deliver it, but just explaining it well can help people be more likely to want to hire you or pay for your service and actually enjoy the experience.
You have given a kind of, you know, a bit detail about how one should be planning about for the story. Now, how can one create these powerful stories that can help sell their products?
So when it comes actually creating a story, the process that I recommend, again, is takes a little bit of a reframe, but you want to start with the end in mind. What I mean is, no matter what your story you're telling, because most of the time if you're in a business, you can know you have kind of like a sales cycle or like a sales funnel you're building, and you need multiple stories over the course of an entire funnel to move people through the process. You're very rarely going to have someone who is at the top of the funnel immediately jumps to wanting to buy. That just is not realistic. So when you think about the stories you're telling, think about what stage in the sales or the marketing process the audience is in, and then to think about what the result you want them to have after they hear this story, which is usually just move down to the next stage, next level of the funnel in some sort. And so once you know kind of what the result you want from the story is, then you want to take a step back and think about who's the target audience. And you want to be really focused in this sense. If you can get it down to like an avatar of like one person, like if you imagine you're speaking to a single person when you're writing these things, it's really effective because you'll be able to have a lot more personal sounding message. It won't be sound as much like kind of corporate talk. It won't be too jargon heavy because you'll be speaking to a single person. And that one person is enough characteristics that your target audience shares in general that people that are like 90% like them or 80% like them will still resonate well with your message. But if you aim too widely, then your net stretches too much and all the fish swim through the holes and you catch no one. So, but think about who's your audience? What do they care about? How much do they know already about your product? And what stage in the buying decision are they? You want to tailor your message for what they're going to care about. Think about it from their perspective. If they don't know everything you already know about your product and service, what do they need to hear? What are they going to care about that's going to get them to that next step? And once you're going to know that, and oftentimes you can ask people, do some like research, kind of focus group stuff, to figure out what sort of messages people actually want to learn or what want to hear at certain stages. Once you know those, like the results you want and who you're talking to, then you start crafting your message. A lot of companies, they make the mistake of starting with just, here's what I want to talk about. Because from their perspective, what they think is exciting, and then they wonder why people it's not resonating with their audience, and it's because you're not trying to sell to yourself, you're trying to sell to someone else, but you're writing it from like the stuff you care about, you think are exciting. So, starting from what's the result I want from this message, who am I talking to, and then you craft your message so that and for the actual message itself, you want to start with basically a hook to grab people's attention, because attention spans are super short these days. Then you want to add a little bit about a little empathy statement is what I call it, because people don't care about what you know till they know that you care about them and understand what they're feeling, what they're experiencing. So once you've hooked them in, show you get what they're struggling with, show you understand their pain points, show that you understand them as a person. Then you can introduce the main body of your message, what you want them to learn, and then have a call to action that inspires them to get further into the funnel. So between that kind of start with the end in mind and having that kind of the hook, empathy, big idea, call to action format, you can create a series of content that'll help move people through your funnels and be more effective than just kind of what most people do in their marketing.
Very lucky. So, when you were mentioning about that, how these stories can create this impact. Because, you know, when there are, what we can say that for most of the brands, we see that they try at least, I'm not saying that they create some impactful story, but at least there are many brands that keep on trying to create a good story for selling out their product. But only a very few of these marketers or we can say brands succeed in doing. So, how can one, make the prospects or the buyers attention glued via this storytelling. So this is an important part, because creating a story is one part, but then creating a story that keeps the audience glued is something and another thing. So can you help the audience understand that, what are the different perspectives into it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So yeah, what makes a difference between a good story and a great story, or a story that keeps people engaged, is the empathy, is the emotion behind it. Because as much as we like to think of ourselves as thinking beings that feel, we're very much feeling beings that occasionally think. And we make decisions using emotion every single time. And yes, even you, if you're those of you here, like I can hear you shaking your heads, and I don't make, yes, you still do make decisions using emotion. So that when you're telling a story, it's not just enough to say, like, that you don't just want to do like a bulleted list of like series of events, like this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. You need to have very evocative emotional language that, and paint a picture that so people can feel like they're in the scenario with the characters, with your clients, or with you. And they have a sense of like what like the they can put themselves in the situation. If you've ever gone to like a watch like a horror film, and you feel like when the monster jumps out on the screen, your body jumps, get a big adrenaline rush, because our brains can't tell the difference between reality and like a story. Our brains respond physically the exact same way. So the more you can have that emotion that and that connection with people on a experience, like the explain the situation, explain the emotions, and build that empathy, that's what keeps people hooked in, because they're not just observing a story, they're experiencing it with you and the characters in the story. And that's what keeps people hooked throughout the entire process. You don't want to keep them for marketing, keep the stories kind of short, but if you're going to keep them to get to that call to action, you need to have that emotional elements to the story, so that people stay engaged, because that's what really draws us in and holds us there.
So in addition to it, like the strategy that you mentioned, so does this strategy differ from a high ticket selling product and a low selling product, or it remains the same irrespective of any kind of, you know, the ticket price that you have?
Yeah, difference between high ticket and low ticket, I mean, there's always going to be differences, no matter, even between two different high ticket products. The main thing you got to remember is that something I mentioned at the end of my story is all businesses are really H2H. You're always dealing with another human. So even if you're selling like a B2B company, you're selling to large corporations, you have a large like 6-7 figure ticket, like SaaS product you're trying to sell, and you're dealing with a bunch of like executives and like the board and all the, they're all humans. And so you need to, and so you might need to change the sort of stories you tell and be able to address the concerns of those different audiences, because you might have like convinced the CEO with one story, and then the CFO with a different story, and then the board members with a third version of the story. They're all probably related and have a similar themes, but just the empathy part of your stories might change based on your audience, so you show that you have thought of them and what they care about, and understand what their needs are and what their concerns are, and you've addressed them. So that way they go, okay, these people understand me, and they also understand the CEO, and they understand the CFO, and they get us. Whereas just one story to all of them wouldn't nearly be as effective. So that requires obviously a different scope of work than if you're doing a more like a B2C e-commerce sort of offer, where you're selling something on like a e-commerce platform, and someone's basically like looking at the posting, like an option they're going to buy with a credit card. They're not going to talk to you, someone in person. You don't know necessarily who they are until they bought from you. You still want to tell a story. There's a great, I saw an article where, these guys were selling, basically like the little, like McDonald's kids toys on eBay. They're trying to sell something for like $1, US dollar. And this one, they weren't really selling. So they posted it again like a month later with a story about how they found it. And it was like this big couple paragraphs long story, and it sold for like $100. This thing was a little piece of plastic that was worth nothing, but people bought it because of the story. So having more of that emotional, like the backstory behind the item and like the significance and like the impact and like that sort of stuff can make your the same sort of online e-commerce offer that's a lower ticket price than like say the 6-7 figure thing, but the story there you can still do more generalized because you don't know specifically who the buyer is, but you know like the like sort of person who you're aiming for, you still can tell those sort of stories that helps them people spend more on the same product than maybe they would have without the story, or would have not bought it at all because they didn't understand the value because there was no emotional impact behind the object. So very different story telling in application, but the theory or like the steps to take to tell these stories are all kind of the same when you kind of know how the theory behind all the storytelling works.
So I guess you have given a lot of advices today, and this will, you know, help us or a kind of the marketers understand the importance of storytelling into the our digital advertisement that we do about. And definitely, we as a marketer should involve a lot of storytelling so that the experience that we give is something that the audience will be understanding or they will be keeping it with them. Therefore, it becomes much more important that we should be incorporating them into our digital strategy. So the last piece of advice that we would like to give to especially the business owners on implementing this storytelling?
Well, last piece of advice, probably the biggest thing, the key to being a great storyteller, especially in the business world, that is first, before you start talking, is to listen. Actively listen to your target audience so you get to know what they actually care about first, and don't assume you understand what they want until you hear it from them. Or you do some like research and like really actively listen to other people, to your internal teams, to your clients, to other vendors, and just in general, like, and I mean, like, there's a little adage of 2 ears and 1 mouth, you should use them proportionally. That's really important for anyone who's trying to in business, is to really make sure you're listening to the stakeholders of your business, and when it comes to clients, employees, that sort of stuff, because the more you do that, the better off you're going to be when trying to craft your messages, because you'll know what people are actually who they are and what they actually care about.
So with this, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, Carl, for sharing your valuable advice with our audience. And I guess you have given a good perspective about how we can use storytelling, and especially why experience matters in the selling of any product, or even we can go with the service alone. So if these practices or if these additions, the one that you have given, if those are implemented by marketers, that can give fruitful results in their marketing. So thank you once again, and it was a pleasure having you on our show, and I will look forward to host you again on our show.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thank you.